You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Every now and then, the Lord will direct me to, teach something that is difficult. This is one of those mornings. Difficult in the sense that it probes into areas of our lives that heretofore we were not very receptive. We find ourselves struggling in the things that are not important. We used to use a phrase that we major in the minors. In fact, the writer to the Hebrews says that it's time for us to move past tongues and gifts and physical demonstrations of our faith and get right down to maturity. The Bible describes maturity as the ability to get along with each other. Uses terms such as forgiveness, encouragement, edification of one another. In my devotions last week, I came across a passage that I had read, understood, and preached and taught for years, but last week it jumped out at me and grabbed me by the mind and caused me to see things differently. There is a passage in the Word of God in 1 John that talks about there is a sin unto death. And if we see a brother commit that sin, there's nothing we can do about it. But in true biblical fashion, it doesn't address that sin. It doesn't tell you what it is. Jesus goes a step further and says that if there's any sin committed against God or the Son, there is forgiveness. He said, but sins against the Holy Spirit, there can be no forgiveness. But once again, we're left to assume what sinning against the Holy Spirit is described. We don't know what that means. When I was a young boy in Christ, we were told that we were quenching the spirit if we folded our arms in church or folded our legs. I thought to myself, if my blood can flow, why can't the Holy Spirit? But trying to obey those senior Christians, I would sit in church in the most uncomfortable positions because I didn't want to quench the spirit. But then there's something that God makes very clear when it comes to him forgiving us. He says, if you don't forgive your brother or your sister by implication, he says, God can't forgive you. Now, I had read that passage for years, majoring on the subject of forgiveness. Teaching it, researching it, finding supportive text. But then last week it hit me. It says that if you don't forgive your brother, God cannot forgive you. It didn't say would not. It said cannot. I said, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Why can't he forgive me if I don't forgive you? And so the journey began. And I'm not telling you. I'll let you find out the way I did. But in researching and understanding the fact that you become a Christian, no, you become born again. And you grow into being a Christian. Now, your evolution, if I can use that term, into being a Christian is totally dependent upon you. Totally dependent upon you. It is not dependent upon the Holy Spirit. Because he puts the same ability out at the same time for everyone. And our willingness to comply will dictate our ability to become more Christ-like. The ultimate goal is to become a Christian. That's the goal. Because the term means Christ-like. In other words, you become little Jesuses on the earth. That particular mindset takes a long period of time. Some will never achieve it. Hence, we have the term, I'm a practicing Christian. It's like your doctor is practicing medicine. They aren't sure. That's why things change so rapidly. They aren't sure. And so as I began to look at some things from the Word of God, as a pastor teacher, my mind began to gel around the question, why is this church? And I said to God, using the pronoun my church, and it's not my church, but it's mine by connection. I said, why is my church struggling the way that it is? We ought to be, after 31 years, we ought to be way up here. And I said, we're not. What's happening? Holy Spirit is very faithful. Very faithful. He knows my mindset is to always go back to the beginning of something. Because in my world, the origin of a thing will always help you with where you are. The reason our country is in the downward spiral that it is because we've forgotten our beginnings. This is not a rebuke of our president. Listen, he's your president whether you voted for him or not. The Constitution doesn't allow for us to have separate presidents. You may disagree with him, and at that point, you have the right to write letters. I've been writing letters to congressmen and people like crazy. They're sick of me. They respond. They come, they write me back, but at least they're hearing my voice. So rather than sit around and complain, write to them. Let them hear your voice. We say, oh, I can pray. Yes, but there's a special part to that, which we won't talk about. And our president is very much opposed to certain types of immigration. And I'm driving down the street last week and I'm thinking, with the exception of the Indians, nobody here is original. And then there's another group of people that were forced to come. There wasn't anybody standing at the shores of Virginia and Maryland saying, go back. And they kept us like that for 400 years. And so we have a statue off the shores of New York that says, give me your poor, your tired, and your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. Who's to say that God did not allow this nation to be created just for the purposes of freedom? In fact, was it not for freedom and the removal of themselves from religious persecution that prompted the pilgrims to take that dangerous voyage west to a land they had never discovered, never knew anything about, looking for freedom? There's always this inherent move in a person to do better, and sometimes it is necessary to change your venue where you are in order to do better, because there are restrictions where you are that will prohibit you from doing better. So it appears that our political leaders have forgotten the beginning of this great nation. We need to remind them. Tell them to research their heritage and find out that their ancestors came on a boat, some through Ellis Island, some from other points or ports of entry. Remind them of the beginning. Well, I'm here to remind you of God's beginning. In the Word of God, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, he says, this is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless. The husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, able to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of money, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that rules well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man does not know how to rule his house, how shall he take care of the church of God? It jumps out at you, doesn't it? It jumps out at you with a passion that God is saying, home must be right before we enter into ministry. How could I stand before you to give you the truths of God and a relationship with God that matters if I can't rule my own house? And so reading this, the Spirit of God says, you need to teach more about the family. And I said, God, I did that a couple of weeks ago during Family Friends Day. He said, but you didn't do it at 7:30. I said, no, they don't need it. Those are my studious people. They don't need it. He said, guess again. When the Apostle Paul teaches the great mystery of the church in the letter to the Ephesians, when he gets to chapter 4, he begins to unfold our role of action. In chapters 1, 2, and 3, he discusses our existence, what we are to be. We are to be seated in heavenly places. We are to be filled with the grace and mercy of God. In short, we are to be the church. But then in chapter 4 and following, 4, 5, and 6, he discusses how we make that migration from being the church to showing the church. In chapter 4, he begins by talking about the change of the mind, that we are not to have our minds darkened, and nor should we live in that Gentile or unbelieving mindset that so many of us struggle with new birth. We don't quite know how to make the transition from the mind of the flesh into the mind of God, and so we stumble a lot. And we misunderstand the will of God because our voice speaks louder than God's voice. And because we're ignorant of God's voice, we will say, the Lord told me. God understands, and he just hopes that there's someone horizontally in your life to tell you it's not God. You must realize that a person isn't the one on trial. But the spirit that motivates them, that's what's on trial. We are very careful to say we don't judge people, but you are fully permitted to judge spirits. And the spirit is the thing that promotes that person. So there are people who have good intentions but rotten spirits. And it just seems that in the church, we allow any and everything because it's been... the icing has been God told me. And so we need to understand, how does God move us from this destructive lifestyle of selfish individuality in the church? I'm going to get mine. I don't care if anybody else gets theirs. I'm seeking God for his will for my life. Without understanding that his will for my life causes me to connect with you. That the will of God for my life cannot be successful if I'm not connecting with my family. That would be the same type of thing that if God blesses me financially and I have a family and I'm moving forward in financial blessing, but I'm not helping my family, then how am I blessed? How can you, a husband, rise to the heights of mental, emotional, educational, spiritual success, and you leave your wife behind? You're dressing in $2,000 suits. You got pinky rings of 18-karat gold and diamonds, and your wife is going to Kmart and Walmart to get her clothes. How does that happen? How does God exhort and exalt you and leave your spouse behind? It is imperative that we understand what the scriptures are saying. And once we cause our homes to become in line with the will of God and the plan of God, you watch the church just fall in line. When he gets to the fifth chapter, did you ever wonder how Paul could go from such instructional doctrine in chapter 4 of Ephesians to family and personal doctrine in chapter 5. Do you ever wonder how he can make that shift and make it so fluid that you don't really even notice it's happening? And when you read the instructions in chapter 5 of Ephesians, there is this mindset where you really don't pay much attention to it because it's kind of just flowing from what he said about the mind. And he says, you know, let him that stole steal no more, and let him get a job so that he will have to give to those that have a need. And when we get to the marriage section and the family section, we tend to just pass over it because the world has given us the instruction for our families. Now, we are to be the light of the world in everything, our behavior, our deportment, our relationships. How we do family is indicative of our obedience to the will and the plan of God. Let's start in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. I'll read it out the Living Bible. It says, honor Christ by submitting one to another. Now, how can Paul tell the church, the members of the body of Christ, to be in submission one to another unless submission is taught? And brothers and sisters, submission is not taught when you're an adult. It is taught when you're pliable. So it appears that the apostle is operating under the assumption that you received proper training in your childhood and you learned how to submit to your parents and to your older siblings, which gives you the mindset of submission when you come into church. When you find individuals in church that do not want to submit to the vision and the direction of the church, it does not necessarily mean that it's a devil. It could mean that they don't have a point of reference for submission. No one taught them how to submit. So submission is viewed in the negative. It is viewed as some form of slavery. But God has never authorized slavery and only used it when he wanted to teach his children a lesson for their disobedience. God has never isolated a race of people to be slaves to another. That is the will of man, promoted by covetousness, lust, pride, and arrogance. It was always the mind of God that we are horizontal and equal. Lord. He says, submit one to another. Then he says, you wives must submit to your husband's leadership in the same way you submit to the Lord. He's crafting the family structure. Not just marriage, but the family structure. Now watch. The Bible says that the wife must submit to the husband's leadership in the same way she submits to the Lord. But since this writing, up to April of 2019... so many things have happened in our culture that causes you to look at submission as a negative, but God says it is the highest duty of a wife. Now, if you're not a wife, you don't have to submit to a man. You don't have to submit to your boyfriend or your fiance because he's not your husband. And if he tries to pull that submission card, leave him. Because he's telling you, you can expect hell when you get married. You don't owe your boyfriend. Listen carefully. This might shock some of you more apostolic people. You don't have to submit to your pastor in that way. The only thing you submit to your pastor in is the word of God, the teaching of the word of God, and the cooperation with the vision. You are under no obligation to go get your pastor a cheesesteak from Geno's or a tuna hoagie from Wawa. And the Lord is not going to tell you to go get me a tuna sandwich. The pastor, the Lord told me to do so. There's only a few people that the Lord tells to do things. Only a few people that he tells to do things. And he tells it through me. But outside of that, and that's because of a relationship. That's because of a 31-year relationship. I have that privilege. I don't need to be led by the Spirit. I just need to be hungry. See, God might have me call Robin and say, Robin, I want some fried flounder when you feel the Spirit. And she feels the Spirit and makes it. But that's a different. That's because of who we are. But that's not, you know, like a lot of churches, people go around, oh, pastor, you know, I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to do that. You can't make pastors gods. Listen carefully. We can't handle it. We can't handle it. The flesh can't handle it. We can't handle deification. We can't handle being lifted. So that's why I don't let you do it. Now, some of you who praise the Lord, you know, the Bible says give honor to whom honor is due. Yes, but do you know how we pervert that verse? Here's the honor I want. Just do what I say. I don't care if you never stand up for me when I'm introduced. And I ain't introduced. I'm presented, doggone. How many times you got to introduce me? All right, they just, man, we now bring you, hey, look, that dog don't hunt no more. And I don't care if you never stand up. I'm not, you don't genuflect when I walk in a room. If you can't handle me, what you going to do with the one that sent me? You need to understand that while my role is sent by God to be the leader, you must understand, this is his church, and I'm bringing you his message. See, I don't need to be lifted because I'm doing what God told me. I was watching something the other day, and I was feeling really melancholy, right? A lot of things are happening, and I don't mean melancholy from a negative thing. I mean just from so much going on. The church is growing. Opportunities are growing. We met with the township last week about our building program, and they were more excited than some of you. They started asking us if we were going to put in sidewalks and LED lamps, and are we going to put trees around our property? Shoot, I thought they were about to say we're going to pay for it.
We pray that you were blessed and encouraged by the message you heard today. Order today's message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. When ordering, refer to the program title, Prioritizing the Family, or the program number 04219A. If you'd like to download today's message or any other recent sermons from Bishop Lambert, visit ericlambertministries.com for the complete digital download. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be viewed weekly on the Word Network Monday evenings at 7:30 p.m. And beginning May 19th, you can also watch the telecast on the Impact Network each Sunday morning at 7:30 a.m. on Comcast Channel 294. Be sure to visit BethelDeliverance.org to find out when and where to catch the Climbing Higher TV and radio broadcasts in your area. For service times, location, and more information about Bishop Lambert and Bethel Deliverance International Church, go to our website at BethelDeliverance.org. Follow us on social media through Facebook and Instagram, or contact us at 215-885-2585. Thank you for tuning in today. Keep climbing higher in the Word of God.